This is Howard Husick, Vice President for Policy Research at the Manhattan Institute, with another in our series of conversations entitled From the Desk of the Dean, appearing on the Manhattan Institute's web magazine, Minding the Campus, and featuring Herb London, Senior Fellow at the Institute's Center for the American University and the former Dean of the Gallatin College for Individual Study at New York University. Our topic today, Herb, is the controversy that's arisen in the wake of the dismissal of a prominent writer named Naomi Schaefer Riley from the opinion blog of the Chronicle of Higher Education after she expressed the view that a series of dissertations in the Black Studies field were less than rigorous and expressed, I think, general skepticism about the importance of Black Studies as a field. In fact, she wrote, it's a collection of left-wing victimization claptrap at worst, and at best, the dissertation topics were obscure. Her dismissal, however, has really ignited a firestorm. It followed 6,500 academics signing a petition demanding that she be dismissed for expressing those views, and the view expressed by the editor of the Chronicle of Higher Education that her posting had not met basic reporting and fairness standards in opinion articles. And so the sides are joined, that there was something really offensive about what she wrote, as opposed to First Amendment and academic freedom and political correctness concerns. How do you come down?
Well, look, my feeling about it is that there's enough empirical evidence to support everything that Naomi has written. The fact of the matter is that there's a lot of nonsensical issues that are addressed in these dissertations in Black Studies. Moreover, there's an awful lot that is related to the civil rights movement. And if you are talking about a political movement on campus, that's very different from an academic movement. There's a lot to be said under the rubric of Black Studies. You could read Frederick Douglass. You could read W.E.B. Du Bois. You could read Jean Genovese on slavery. There are things worth reading, and there are things worth studying. But so much of it has become a study in victimization. That is, people want to express themselves about their dissatisfaction with the existing society and the damage that slavery has done to the institutional community in the Black area.
Well, let me shift the emphasis, though, because I think what we're trying to talk about is less the field of Black Studies, although that's implicit in this discussion, but what happened to Naomi Schaefer Riley, who is, right. You know, she's not an obscure person. She's written two prominent books on the academy, most recently The Faculty Lounges and Other Reasons Why You Can't Get the College Education You Pay For, and God on the Quad, How Religious Colleges and the Missionary Generation Are Changing America. She writes in serious ways about...
Look, she's a serious scholar studying higher education.
Why did this firestorm happen, in your
opinion?
Well,
I think you understand that this is obviously challenging the political correctness on campus. There is an orthodoxy about some disciplines. There are untouchable items that exist in the academic curriculum. One of them is Black Studies. Another is Feminist Studies. Another is Queer Studies. These subjects cannot be touched. They become an extension, as I indicated before, of political activity. As a consequence, even though Naomi is not saying something that's new, by the way, Tom Sowell has written the same sort of thing roughly 10 years ago. So it's not as if Naomi has discovered something. What she is pointing out, I think, is empirically based. And there's no question in my mind, she's making a very solid point. Her dismissal is an outrage, an absolute outrage. It's a concession to the politically correct forces on American campuses.
All right, so the blog that she wrote for, which, by the way, is called Brainstorm, should we demand of her to tread carefully in this area because of America's special history when it comes to race? And was she a little bit too glib, perhaps?
I don't think so. I think that she was fair-minded. Using the term claptrap, for example, even though it might seem excessive, is a perfectly accurate description of some of the nonsensical dissertations that exist under this character, under this rubric of Black Studies. She is not reporting anything that does not exist. My feeling is if anyone were to read a list of the dissertations, they would arrive at exactly the same conclusion. Any fair-minded person would arrive at the same conclusion. But if, in fact, you're saying we've got a separate academic standard, a standard that is less rigorous for Black Studies, that's a different matter. And my suspicion is that many of those faculty members that signed the petition to have Naomi fired are recognizing a very different standard for Black Studies on American campuses.
Now, let me turn it around. there are many campuses that have chairs and programs in entrepreneurial studies, free market economics, if you will. Now, let's say a Marxist scholar posted and said, you know what, we have to realize that wealthy businessmen are buying these chairs. They're using the university to advance their political agenda. Maybe they would mention some famous donors to conservative causes. Do you think it's possible that that would elicit a demand on the Chronicle of Higher Education from conservatives that such a person not be included in the list of contributors to the Brainstorm blog?
I don't think so. I think that there, as I indicated to you before, there are some areas that are untouchable areas. That's not one of them. And my feeling is that if you were to provide sufficient evidence, conservatives would probably step back and say, I may not like this, I may not agree with it, but there is enough evidence to support the argument that is being made by the author. In Naomi's case, she provided the evidence. Mm-hmm. She has even said, look at the dissertations themselves. Mm-hmm. Be fair-minded. Just look at the titles. And you will see that many of them are obscure, and many of them do represent claptrap.
One of them is about the history of black midwifery, for instance. She singled that out because she noticed the non-white women's experience was, the dissertation writer, was largely absent from the natural birth literature. So I suppose that could be considered obscure. Naomi thought it was obscure. Last question. One of the things we do with this series is to put you in a position of decision-making. In a way, being the editor of the Chronicle of Higher Education is like being a dean, and you have competing forces. Can you empathize with her decision? She's in business to sell the Chronicle of Higher Education and has a constituency. Is there any defense for what she did?
I don't think so. I don't think the editor has a defensible position. I think Naomi should be retained by the Chronicle of Higher Education. She was writing wonderful material. Really wonderful articles. My feeling is that she was treated unfairly. In this case, I think that the editor had a responsibility to maintain appropriate standards. If the standards were violated in some way, if Naomi did not provide sufficient evidence for her claims, then I think, yeah, there's an argument for dismissal. But that isn't the case here. I think the case is one of violating the standard of political correctness. And for that, she does not deserve the punishment she received.
Okay, we'll leave it there. This has been another in our series of conversations entitled From the Desk of the Dean, appearing on the Manhattan Institute's web magazine, Minding the Campus, and featuring Herb London, senior fellow at the Institute's Center for the American University and the former dean of the Gallatin College for Individual Study at New York University. I'm Manhattan Institute Vice President for Policy Research, Howard Husen.